morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ryan, Derek, new setup.
Got the panel format here.
Yeah, a little different.
Happy to be back.
I'm happy to have you.
Yeah, you didn't work your way off with your first appearance, so you might be invited back, I don't know, maybe permanently?
Hey, we'll take what we can get. You know, it was a lot of fun last time, so good. I appreciate getting brought back into this thing, and I know, you know, our clients appreciate this, and I got a lot of positive feedback from last
good.
One. So,
good. It's water cooler talk. You're part of the water cooler talk, you know, here in the office, so let's do it.
Let's get it.
That's right.
Yeah. So, that June, come on.
A little bit similar to May, different than May.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the weather's been nicer here in Michigan, but yeah, you know, ironically enough, the market had a similar, you know, type of month. We saw let's just say 3.59% increase in the S&P 500, top 500 companies in the U.S. Mm-hmm. as measured by market capitalization. We like to use this index as kind of our gauge for how did the market do. Now, as time has progressed, you're starting to see this industry dominated by a few companies. We've touched on this. We'll touch on it again. But for now, that's what we're going to continue to work with. So good month for the S&P 500. Let's just call it 3.6% to the upside. We'll do a little rounding there. Bonds, go figure, came along for the ride as well in the month of June. So that was good. Yeah, right. And that it wasn't as robust. You know, we saw just shy of 1%, 0.97% increase in the aggregate bond index. And this is just going to be a basket of bonds, so diversified, you know, bond holding. And it gives us just that general gauge of how the bond market did. So we'll welcome both positives. That definitely shines on your portfolio. We like it.
Right.
Like,
and I know we kind of, you know, work portfolios here for our clients, you know, different risks, everything that kind of goes along with that. But anything on the updated side for, you know, the portfolios in general?
A lot of the same. Our clients would have seen some marginal moves, some marginal pivots. But right now, the trend is up. We like trends. We're following that. So there hasn't been a tremendous amount of material changes. But you are seeing some different engagements being put to work in the portfolio. And remember, these are positionings around the margin. This is what gives us our edge. The core foundation of the portfolio rarely needs to change unless we have a material breakdown of a trend, a material breakdown of just the economic forces, the capital market forces. So what you're seeing, if you're recognizing some transaction confirmations, you probably are. But these are marginal moves that help us build that edge out. So, you know, we still very much like large, well-established, growth-oriented U.S. companies. We remain light on the mid and small cap complex. You know, we're really trying to do a good job suppressing the volatility in the anybody who's has bonds in their portfolio. You know, that duration is something that we really keep an eye on. So a lot of the same, really. We haven't had this portfolio update component for a really long time. There will be a time where we talk about a meaningful change, but it's just not in the month of June. Let's keep enjoying that upside.
That's kind of how we design it, right? If we need to move, we can move. If we don't need to, we're in a good position. Yeah. Yeah. Let it keep moving.
That's right. Right.
Continue to stay nimble.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely.
So I know that we get, you know, a lot of the, you know, feelings from consumers and investors, from social media, from the news, from newspapers, but we also get it from our clients, right? Yeah. So one thing that we do pay a lot of attention to is, you know, investor sentiment. You know, the markets are going up, how are they feeling? Or if they're down, or should they keep going up? You know, all these different kind of views on investors. And what's something that, you know, the three of us have been talking, investor sentiment in general,
right,
with what's been going on. You know, what are we hearing?
So thanks for bringing up the topic. And why don't you lead off? What have you been hearing?
I mean,
on your phone,
is it going to keep going higher?
There you go. Okay. You know,
why is it going higher?
I've heard that.
Will it stop going higher?
I've heard that.
You can't tell the future on any of it.
Cool.
Right?
Do I get to answer those questions at some point?
No. Okay. We just let it keep going. Like, sure.
Right. What? Same thing.
I think that's the idea. Is I think people are very happy right now with the way the markets go, and I think we have to, you know, continue on trend. But it's also making sure that we're always forward looking. That we're always looking to maintain that edge and to make sure that, you know, when things start breaking down, that we're in a position where we start playing a little bit of defense. So but until then, let's keep playing offense and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I think that the core of this is what's the temperature the pulse of the common investor. So all of those are great things to engage this conversation. Number one, people are feeling positive. So guess what? That person that's underinvested, they're hearing their neighbor talk about what their, you know, asset manager has done for them. You know, so, and then the person who steps away going, geez, oh, Pete, yeah, my money market pays good, but not that good. Should I be doing something? Recognize there's still a lot of cash on the sidelines, and quite frankly, the pain trade. So the trade that would make the most amount of people anxious, wanting to do something different, is actually still to the upside. You know, you might sit and look at what the market has done recently and say, well, that's just irrational exuberance and stuff. But quite frankly, if you zoom out and look at household ownership of stocks and things like that, I mean, Americans are still somewhat underinvested, you know, generally speaking. Without getting into quoting studies and stuff like that. So recognize that we got to be thinking about that. And I think that one thing we've been talking about, and I kind of brought this up this morning, is those who say this market can't go any higher, I would like to draw their attention to the amount of money that we're spending as a nation and what Congress, from the budget deficit perspective, is embarking upon. So when I sit and would say, all right, you know, James, Derek, it's $1 trillion.
Right.
Well, it wasn't $1.5 trillion. No, it's a $1.9 trillion deficit. So who knows where it'll come in at. But let's just say, I mean, we did learn we're running a much higher deficit than was anticipated at the beginning of the year. I'll say the $1 trillion and you'll go, yeah, I've heard that before. But you have no perspective of what that really is. You really need something to manifest that in your life. And maybe it's the real estate market, maybe. But what if it's the stock market that does something that is, it catches your attention and lets you know what $1 trillion of stimulative movement looks like reflected in an asset class. And that's what you're seeing. So you really want perspective on what $1 trillion looks like. Just wait. You know, the market could do some very fantastic things. Now, could, because a lot of things have to go right. We'll get into, I think, a little later, that there's two sides to risk.
Right.
But recognize that this market could spin your head around. So just realize that sometimes the upside risk of not being invested and not participating in that movement, that's as much a risk as the downside. So anyway, we'll help you keep that straight.
Right.
You know, one interesting statistic that I had read the other day was that there's still over, you know, right around, let's just say, about $10 trillion in checking accounts, you know, which are still earning next to nothing, you know, where, you know, there's certainly a great opportunity there if people are holding an abundance of cash in a checking account to take advantage of high yield savings or money market accounts that are still yielding well above, you know, 4.5%.
Well, and that's, you know, kind of like a different, you know, topic that we'll address, you know, when rates start to roll over. It's probably like, all right, really, you know, think about what you're doing with your cash.
Yeah. Right.
But what that highlights is just that money on the sidelines.
Right. Frankly. Whether they're buying something, whether they're putting it in the market, whatever it is,
right,
it's kind of that machine that we've talked about in the past.
And go figure, where's the money come from? I mean, really, that's that speaks to the cash generating mechanism that is our Congress right now at the moment.
And you made just a very small comment, but it was about the neighbor and what their portfolio had done.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's up 12%, it's up 2%, whatever it might be. And then you kind of go and you go walk away and you grab the rake and you start raking again or whatever it might be. And you're like, okay, you know, I'm not earning that.
Right.
You know, so we talk about this a lot, the three of us, but, you know, not every indice is the same. Not every market is the same. One person could quote one number and another person quotes another number. And just if you're sitting there talking over the fence, you might think it's the same.
Well, how about this? You know, really, for the first quarter, I would say, of 2024, the old saying, all boats rise with the tide,
mm-hmm,
was very true. Then the second quarter, you know, when you start to get deeper into the year, it's been the saying of a tale of two tapes.
Mm-hmm.
So literally within less than half a year, you've had the both of those things play out. And so what you're touching on is, you know, you take a look at like the Russell 2000. We always talk about the S&P 500, top 500 companies in the U.S. The Russell 2000, well, what about the 2000 companies that come after the top 500? That's kind of a way to wrap your head around that. These are smaller and medium-sized companies. So, you know, the statistic, I believe that in June, the Russell 2000 was down about 75 basis points, 0.75%. So everything else is going up, and these mid and small cap stocks are going down. Really quick, why is that? Well, a lot of these mid and small cap stocks have variable lending relationships. So, you know, as interest rates go higher, the rate they're paying to the folks that have lent them money, the interest rate goes up and it cuts their margin. That's why. But the bottom line is, if your neighbor says, I'm 100% invested in stocks, you kind of got to know what stocks, because even the Dow Jones Industrial, 30 large industrial companies, that is a very visible index, the month of June was up just north of 1%. Remember the S&P?
Yeah.
Up 3.59%. Right. Okay, so you're seeing that there are these divergences. That's why you've got us here. So there's a reason for why those mid and small caps are underperforming. There'll be a reason for them to outperform. Our job is to sniff that out and get you there.
Lean in, lean out.
Lean into sense, the turns. Right? It's not market timing. It's right. It's just prudent, tactical execution in a portfolio and taking the big picture. Don't look one-dimensional. Look three-dimensional.
And it's interesting. You know, in 2009, small and mid led the way off the bottom. Mm. Same thing in 2002. Same thing in 1990. They led the way. And, you know, since 2020, 2021, we've really seen that, you know, large cap, mega cap, those tech names, Magnificent Seven, have really led the way and, you know, really left small and mid in the dust. And so, you know, like you said, it's important to look at, you know, those big baskets of stocks, right? They're not all created equally. Mm-hmm. And leaning into the right sectors of the market's been, you know, something that we've got to look at. And that's where, you know, we've been a little bit lighter.
Right. Right. But you still got to be in it, right?
That's right.
When it will move, you got to participate.
Mm-hmm. So no question.
You mentioned we would circle back to something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And kind of looking at risks and maybe in a different plane than,
right,
you know, how we look at it is one way. Clients look at it, how you evaluate it, what you sign, all those different things. But, you know, there are two sides,
right,
to risk. There's, right, two different ways to look at it.
Right. And I think that if you just want my preparation for the always changing environment, whether it's daily, monthly, I tend to look monthly, you know, if we're really trying to hash out an investment strategy. But here's the deal. You always have to have two paths to go for, you know, a catalyst out there. So you have to recognize, if it's this, I do this. If it's that, I do that. Well, recognize that oftentimes those are, if it's good, I do this. If it's bad, I do this. And so in that environment, you always have to have two execution strategies. So for instance, as I talk about the pain trade being higher, as we talk about cash on the sidelines that could fuel continued growth higher, you know, not robust stock ownership, da-da-da-da-da, you know, valuations still seem reasonable, assuming that corporate America can hit their earnings projections. But what if they don't? What is that? You can't be caught flat-footed without a plan. Then you're not prepared. So there are always two sides to everything, such as the risk of the market. You know, oftentimes you see a pendulum and you think, okay, where's the apex of the pendulum? And then it swings back. Well, that apex is an extreme. So what if I was to tell you, and again, I'm not quoting any study or anything like that, but just I heard the other day, Google searches for stock market crash are at a all-time low. So what does that tell you? Investors are very complacent, at least the ones going on Google and taking a look. I'll remember that.
Right.
And so, you know, again, these are some of the things that you want to be thinking about and say, okay, what would cause the market to unwind? And then what's our plan of action there? I guess I bring it up because I want all of our viewers to know, yes, we are very constructive and positive on portfolios, but we are very acutely aware of the risk and the management strategy that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. When we're always talking about what comes next, if you know, rates were to collapse, what's the next move? If mega cap tech starts to stall out, where do we want to be positioned in the portfolio to protect, play defense, or to continue to play offense? Do we need to add any utility players, using a baseball term there, you know, alternative strategies to the mix? You know, we're constantly talking about that water cooler talk. And I think that's important. We've always got our eye on the ball, you know, and we're making sure that we're playing through every different scenario that's out there.
Right.
You know, and we'll be prepared to take action when action's needed.
Right. as we kind of walk through June, as we have over these last few topics and through this discussion, you know, just kind of take a second and think back at the last 6 months, right? You know, kind of looking at the mid-year, you know, where the markets were at the beginning of the year, where they were back in 22 through 23. You know, we've had this kind of story and theme, what's been going on, you know, bonds picked up, other things picked up, but kind of looking back like a mid-year guidepost, you know, how are we looking?
Yeah, well, it's been a tremendous run year to date. I think, so we're looking back at the last 6 months and saying it's been a tremendous run. I think if anybody was to go back and check out our podcast starting the year, you won't see Derek's smiling face on him, but you know, you will start to see that we were on top of some themes that we really thought would drive these markets higher. So if I could give us a little bit of a golf clap, that's all we need to do. But it's been good. It's been productive. But guess what? It should have been.
Yeah.
This really isn't like out of the ordinary, because you got to look at the different levers that impact the capital markets and the economy. How do they work together? So it's been very consistent. Recognize there's a tremendous amount of stimulus flowing through the fiscal side of things right now. And, you know, so recognizing that's been the overwhelming theme for the last 6 months, sounds like it's pretty important to watch for the next 6 months. So certainly it's been good. I've liked where we've been positioned along the way here. So, you know, let's just take the win. And we have to remember this environment. We have to remember this environment, because we all know the times where market volatility peaks, you're going to have a bunch of people trying to sell you a silver bullet coming out of the woodwork. So I let everybody take a minute and remember this time, remember this run from really that started late last year, late 2023, to here. Just remember this when the annuity salesperson is coming at you.
Or the bank's saying, hey, let's get some of that idle cash and lock it up for 18 months.
Right. Or somebody's pitching you some weird, you know, investment that seems like it's just, how could I go wrong?
But it's a free dinner.
That's right. All right. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, you bring up the annuity salesperson and locking money up for an extended period of time. There's solutions out there now in this environment that, you know, as a fee-only independent firm, we have access to solutions that still provide us with flexibility from a timing that is not going to lock you up, but can offer some of those maybe downside protection solutions. And so, you know, without getting into too much detail into those, there are solutions.
And we'll keep that powder dry, and it's there when we need it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, long ago, an older gentleman told me, you know, actually one of the founders of Advanced Capital. So, yeah. Hope they're not tuning in, but they're young. They're a young 80. But anyway, when you really think about maybe 75.
Yeah.
There we go.
Give them a little credit.
Yeah.
So, I hope they are tuning in.
Right. So it's a meat and potatoes portfolio is going to get you to where you need. It'll feed you.
Right.
And, you know, you don't need the fancy relishes or jellies or anything like that. It's, you know, and then like we run that.
That's where we thrive.
Yeah, it's where we thrive.
That's right.
So let's look ahead.
Yep. As we embark upon the second half of the year, I think that there's a big catalyst for some volatility around November. And you're about to hear the volume turn up as we get a debate behind us, as you know, you start to look at who truly the candidates are. So you might say, yeah, Ryan, you're just saying that because it's in the paper and we all are expecting it. No. I'm watching the VIX futures premiums and looking at if VIX is just like who's buying protection in the market.
Right.
Who's setting up for, all right, if there is volatility and a bunch of bumping around, I want protection. That's what I'll look at. So I'll look at where are people paying a lot of money for that. And you start to see it, go figure, clumping around that November timeframe. So, you know, be prepared for that, but we'll have a plan.
And you'll be here. I'll be here. You'll be here.
Yeah, so that's right.
We'll plan on seeing you next month. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for tuning in.
Advanced Capital Management Incorporated is a registered investment advisor. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.
Investments involve risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Tax and estate planning information should not be construed as formal legal or tax advice. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you next month.